DW Africa Link.
On Nigeria's momentous 65th Independence Day, President Bola Ahmed Tinubu addressed the nation with a bold declaration, "The worst is over." However, as Nigerians continue to grapple with soaring prices, a weakening naira, and economic uncertainty, we ask, is this a turning point for the economy or just another aspirational promise?
Hopefully, his words is put into action. It's not all about coming out and saying the worst is over and then the regular habit is still going on, the corruption and all of that. But hopefully, he puts his word into action. He's being sincere about it. And then he puts the right people in the right place, doing the right thing for the betterment of the Nigerians.
The situation we have before he took over is quite different from what we are seeing now. The hardship is very glaring that everybody is going through a lot.
Let's unpack this. Stay tuned. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from and on Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Nigeria remains Africa's largest economy, yet many of its citizens continue to grapple with rising costs and deepening poverty. As the country commemorates 65 years of independence from British colonial rule, President Bola Tinubu has declared that the worst is over. His statement follows a series of tough economic reforms, including the removal of fuel subsidies, a measure aimed at reducing government spending and encouraging private sector investment, and the unification of the foreign exchange rate, a move to stabilize the naira and attract foreign investment. These measures have sparked inflation and public frustration. In his Independence Day address, Tinubu defended these decisions as necessary steps to reset the economy. But is Nigeria truly on the path to recovery? Joining me for the discussion to explore this question is DW correspondent Olisha Chukwuma in Lagos and economic analyst Dr. Paul Alaje. All right. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us here on DW Africa Link podcast. But I'll start with you, Olisha, as our correspondent on the ground, just for you to unpack for us and maybe give our listeners also some key takeaways from President Tinubu's Independence Day speech.
Independence Day speech from Bola Ahmed Tinubu, Nigeria's president, was quite an interesting one, being that we usually get this very early in the morning, 7 a.m. One of the major takeaways was the economic gains that he said this administration had been able to make in the last 2 years. He acknowledged the hardship and the struggles that has been biting Nigerians economically because of the reforms, as a result of the reforms that his administration has brought into play since coming into power, number one, which is the removal of subsidy, the effects of that, and also when it comes to the devaluation of the Naira currency. Now, all that, as we know, has led to a rising cost of living. And the president comes out on the 1st of October this year to tell Nigerians that regarding the pains of economic biting from that, the worst is over. I think that's the biggest one. Apart from he reeled out some of the programs in terms of youth engagement and education and loans and agriculture, you know, disbursement for funds that his administration had been able to do a couple of years. The biggest one was that he was saying that the worst is over and Nigerians can look ahead, that the economy has turned a corner, so to speak. And that was a big one from President Bola Ahmed Tinubu on 1st of October last week.
Mm. And do you think that he might have been misunderstood, Olisha, in terms of what exactly he meant, based on what Nigerians are saying, maybe responding to the president's claim that the West is behind them?
Well, talking to Nigerians, especially in the immediate aftermath of the speech, when you walk on the streets and get reactions from them, it was either a case of two things. Some people did not want to pay attention, but those who pay attention, they understood him, but many rather disagreed, with the president's comments, because they will tell you that, okay, does it mean that the price of rice or the price of basic commodities has come down. And they will tell you, no, it doesn't mean that things will come down. In fact, they are pointing to the fact that he mentioned the reward of self-subsidy. So they know that he is aware that admitting that the economic pains brought about by these reforms as what has led to what made their cost of living go higher. So they will say they will disagree with the president that the worst is over. In fact, they are saying that things have become much, much, much harder for them because there is a new tax bill that will be coming into law from next year. And many Nigerians are still trying to digest this, you know, this news ahead of when it comes to effect from January 1st next year. So that's another burden for them, so to speak.
Olisa, I mean, as a journalist engaging with everyday citizens, what concerns are people really expressing about their livelihoods?
Just like I said earlier, it's the cost of basic, you know, goods and consumables on the market. Now, since the fuel subsidy removal, the ripple effects, which happened in 2023, immediately when President Bola Tinubu took over, in fact, he announced it without, you know, when he said it was a, some people describe it as a reckless announcement, without, it was just being sworn in when he made that announcement. And that has led to the, you know, the cost of fuel rising up in the last 2 years, in 2023, the cost of basic food and services, you know, value-added tax. So all this has all been lapped up to make the basic needs of people. What you used to buy for 1,000 naira before probably went up to 2,200 or 2,000 naira, and maybe it's now you're stuck at maybe 1,950 naira for what you buy. So that is the, for the average Nigerian, that is the economic indices of what their basic needs are. Now, if things were not better before, but became a bit much more difficult due to direct reforms and changes by this administration, they would hold their, they hold the administration accountable for whatever is going on in their lives, that their rent has gone high, housing has gone high, food has gone high, services have gone high.
Okay, now talking to you, not as a journalist, Olisa, but also a citizen, a young man at IT. What's really your evaluation of the reforms that were introduced by President Tinubu? Do you think they have any positive impact in your livelihood yourself?
In terms of positive impact, that's another debate. But if I were to talk about, you know, personal experiences, especially since the reforms came into play, it was a shock. It was a twin shock in the sense that one of the commodities that Nigerians cannot do without daily, especially when it's to movement, is fuel. Now, we know that Nigeria is a fuel exporting country. Now, this is even before the old Dangote refinery started running into play. The subsidies that we knew was what kept fuel at a certain cost. Now, for you to buy fuel at almost more than 150% the cost I used to buy before, I really felt that, personally. Honestly, I really felt that in a twinkle of an eye. And since then, it's been a way of, you know, coping. And when it comes to also personally housing, I've seen the way rents, especially in a city like Lagos, have gone up because of so many, you know, reforms and increase in the, you know, in things. Rent in Lagos now has gone skyrocket. It doesn't matter whether you're on the mainland or you're on the island. It is astronomical, almost unbelievable these days. And this is of someone who was born and raised in Lagos. I have never seen where rent has gone like this, especially in the last 18 months. The average Nigerian living in Lagos will tell you that, oh, rent now is something else than it used to be before, and there is nothing you can do about it.
Right. Now, Dr. Alhaji, I just wanted you to start by assessing the current state of Nigeria's economy.
Okay. So it's important to state what has happened before now so that listeners can appreciate where Nigeria's economy was coming from. First, I must say that before President Tinubu got to office, Nigeria had some level of concerns in terms of economy, macroeconomic environment. We had exchange rate at 400 naira to the dollar at official market, 700 naira to the dollar at parallel market. There was some level of instability. Nobody could predict what exchange rate could be. It fluctuated. However, it never went beyond 800 naira, both at official and parallel market for exchange rate. Inflation was skyrocketing at 24-25% before the president got to office. That was in May 2020. 23. Then we also have GDP. GDP was sluggish, was slow, even though was manageably on the positive side. And we saw what unemployment was. Unemployment was all-time high at 33.3%. We also saw that Nigeria trade was in negative. Besides, we must also acknowledge the fact that before President Tinubu got to office, average poverty rate per annum was between 5 to 10 million a year. These were some macroeconomic parameters. All other parameters were not really different from what we have in Africa, which include Human Development Index. Nigeria was not among the top 150 in the world. For most African countries, hardly would you see any among the top 80 in the world, in fact, top 100 in the world. Most African countries are seen around a less developed country or developing country based on the parameter that was set. So now President Tinubu got to office. The first thing he did at the point of inauguration, at inaugural speech, is to remove subsidy. That had implication on cost of living. It has implication on living standard among Nigeria. Immediately, pump price that was between 200 to 250 jumped almost the next hour to about 400 naira. As I talk to you today, it's between 800 to 900 naira. Mark you, sometimes before now, the price had gone to 991,000, but it came down to about 800, 850. But I must tell you, as an economist, that was not because of policy. That was because Nigeria changed this year, and we also changed basket of commodity. That was why we saw that major drop. A month after, we saw a slight drop. Then the following month, we saw an increase. And after that, we have been seeing drop in inflation year on year. Mark you, we were comparing different base year, because as of last year till now, till April this year, we were using a different base year. We only changed base year now. So what we are seeing is normal. It does not mean that prices, average price level, has in fact reduced or increased. It is because of base year effects and adjustments in inflation figure. Before we can tell, we need to wait till next year, April, to see what happens. My advice, however, is that yes, we've seen some improvement, and I can tell you in inflation, but I've told you what arguably could be the cause until we are able to watch it up to the time. For the gross domestic product, it is positive. Then, largely speaking, Nigeria has returned to the positive territory in terms of the trade, our trade. So our trade has returned to surplus, which is a major good news. Our foreign reserve has climbed up to $41 billion, which is a very good news, because when President Buhari was in office, that amount went below $30 billion.
Right. Dr. Alhaji, just to put it in simple terms, yeah, for people like me who's not Nigerian, and most of our listeners here who might not be from Nigeria, you as an economic analyst, yeah, in simple terms, please, Nigeria boasts the largest economy in Africa. Yet this hasn't translated into widespread prosperity, even from what you are saying and from what Olisha here is saying. What's really holding back your country? You know, why has economic progress been so slow in reaching the average Nigerian?
Well, I don't know the numbers you are looking at, but when you look at the World Bank data, Nigeria is no longer, as of today, the largest economy in Africa.
You're not our big brother anymore.
No, we are still the big brother of some countries, but a few countries are taking over. Not because Nigeria suddenly lost our wealth, no. Not because Nigeria suddenly sold refineries. In fact, we built a new refinery, the largest refinery in entire Africa. But unfortunately, because we committed ongo by devaluing our currency badly. It does not mean government wants to do bad. Please, it's important that I state it. Government actually wanted to do good. But you see, that defender on the pitch wanted to defend his own country or his own club side. But unfortunately, if he does not target the ball well, as a defender, he may commit own goal. Here is it. Government was looking for more revenue. We feel that we are not having enough foreign direct investment in Nigeria. That was why government took the decision, because there were reports that Naira were overvalued. So government took the decision to devalue. And I must tell you, what is given to different subnationals, that state government, local government, some country call them counties, some call them divisions, divisional government, has increased. In fact, in some months, more than times two. 200-300% is what government gets. Now, foreign direct investment we have received has been very small when it comes to real investment in physical infrastructure and so on. What we have seen most of the time are portfolio investment, people buying treasury bills, buying bonds, and so on and so forth. And that is not a reliable investment because when there is economic crisis, they can easily leave their own country. That is why we say that in making policy, be very careful not to commit on goal. One good intention, but may actually have more far-reaching negative impact on the economy. So why do I think Nigeria has not really reached where it needs to go? I think Nigeria needs a national economic development plan. Not leaders coming up, and this is common in different parts of Africa, leaders come up and just feel, this is what I think is good for my people. I don't think economy works that way. If you don't plan it, you will walk, and the impact will not show. What do we really need as Nigeria? And I've given instances. Nigeria is the largest population in the entire Africa, just the way Brazil is the largest population, just the way before it used to be China, now India, largest population, America, United States is the largest in North America. All of these key countries understand that they have issues of population. What we need to do is to plan what kind of sector should we concentrate in? And I'm getting to the answer now. For most of them, they concentrated in areas where jobs will be provided and people will engage in real economy. Come to Nigeria. We have natural, which is agriculture, crude oil, everything that is natural resources, including agriculture. Then you have manufacturing, which includes production. And the last one, we have service. For Nigeria, that manufacturing sector for economies with large population, that is where they should concentrate on and feed the rest of smaller population like Ghana, like Republic of Benin, and so on and so forth. But that is not the intention. Rather, we believe we can import some of these finished products, which takes about 50% or more of our import bills into Nigeria. So the point is, we need to focus on manufacturing. We need to focus on production. It doesn't mean we will not import at all. But look at most of the things that we consume should be produced in Nigeria. Nigeria can produce mobile phone for the entire Africa, television for the entire Africa, air conditioner for the entire Africa, fans for the entire Africa, refrigerator for the entire Africa. If you look at you in the studio and those of us that are speaking across to you, let's look at ourselves. How many things that you can see around you are made in Africa, are produced in Africa? How many things from my table to my laptop are they really produced in Africa? The future lies on those who produce.
Right. Thank you, Dr. Alaje, for that insightful response. Now, Olisha, as we wrap up our discussions, with elections looming in 2027, how might Tinubu's handling of the economy influence voter sentiment?
It will. We've already seen about 2 years of Tinubu's reforms, quote unquote, that and how it's created, you know, the biting economy for people. It will play a factor because especially when it comes to that subsidy, like I pointed out earlier, some people, some analysts called it reckless for him to have actually announced it. We knew that subsidy removal was always going to be a contentious issue, but it was almost like he took on the unpopular route by doing that on his inauguration day and not even a step-by-step removal. So that will be a big factor because it's somebody who got the vote, somebody who was voted in on the first day, it's not even the first day of office, at the inauguration, then makes a policy statement that directly then impacts their personal pockets and their lives. I'm not sure Nigerians are going to forget that anytime soon. So come 2027, we'll see how that will play out in terms of the polls and the not just popularity, in terms of will people really want to follow Tinubu and vote for him again? You know, it depends on what the opposition also brings to, because as it stands right now, the APC have solid, as Tinubu's party, have a very solid ground in the country, being that they've gotten so many states and they're also in the capital, Abuja.
Mm. And Dr. Alaje, also, as we wrap up, if you are to meet President Bola Tinubu today, what steps will you give or suggest to him that the government should take to ensure economic growth benefits ordinary citizens? And also, obviously, how significant will the economic performance be in the 2027 elections?
Okay, just to start with the second question, Nigerians' elections, economic performance account for less than 40% of election outcomes. politricking and politicking takes a much higher percentage in the scheme of things. So it's important for people to know, but you know that it's not just what happens in the economy that will determine who wins election. I have been around for a while and I haven't put the numbers together. I have observed that that is not just what decide who wins or who does not win. There are so many other sentiments. Where does the person come from? Is he a Christian? Is he a Muslim? Is he a Southerner? Is he a Northerner? Is he just running a second time? Let's just allow the person to go. Or is it does he speak our local language? Does he belong? Does he believe in our forefathers' beliefs? So many other things. Honestly, that many we wonder why people take decision. But it is what it is. It's what people believe in. If people don't believe in it, it's a different conversation entirely. Okay, so now if I were to meet Mr. President today, what will I be telling him? I will tell him, Mr. President, we need to lay a foundation for a dependable economic development. I bother less about economic growth. I bother more about economic development. Growth is important, but it is not so meaningful if it's not leading to inclusion. Is not so meaningful if it's not guaranteeing a nearby development. So you can see countries grow in terms of the number, especially when you are accounting for them in local currency. But when people are not included, the growth really does not matter. So my point would be, Mr. President, what are the drivers that we need to quickly work on? If we think that this driver cannot drive the vehicle of Nigeria's economic growth and development to include people, then we need to really observe them, change them. I'll work on them. Number one is electricity. Nigeria is currently generating less than 10 million, maybe 10,000 megawatt electricity per day. What we need is far above 30, about 40 or 50,000 megawatts is what we should distribute to factories and home. Two, we need to change orientation of Nigeria from people who depend so much on import to one who can export finished goods to the rest of the world. But we are not doing that now. Now, for most of the gains that we have made from currency devaluation and removal of subsidy, we need to feel the impact in infrastructure, in education, and in health. My advice, therefore, to Mr. President is, listen, you have shared this money to subnational based on available data. In that meeting called Fed, you need to mandate, you need to influence as a father of the nation that certain percentage, to my mind, not less than 60% of all revenues to be deployed to infrastructure, to be deployed to education, to also deploy to health. If it is until then that Nigeria can say truly that yes, subsidy might have been removed, but we can see it in our schools, we can see it in our health center, we can see it on in our on the rail track. I recently visited Poland and I went to a place called Gliwice and Katowice, and I can tell you that locals, not the federal government in Poland, controls rail system. And I can tell you that if you don't connect this rail to farms, you are still going to see food inflation really high, even though the number may say otherwise.
Thank you. We'll really ensure or make sure that somehow you find time to also speak to the president. It seems you really have a lot to say, but because of time, we have to call it a day. Thank you so much, Dr. Paul Alaji, our economic analyst, as well as our own Olisha Chukuma. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for
Thank
having
you
us.
very much. Yeah.
Without a doubt, Nigerians have a lot to say. Here is how Nigerians are reacting to President Tinubu's Independence Day remarks about the country moving past its worst economic phase.
Him coming out to say, oh, okay, the worst, obviously, the situation is over. I don't believe him because seeing is believing. That's one. This economy has put me through, obviously, a lot financially. You know, it's been hard, you know, surviving. Some days I, you know, have to eat biscuits for dinner. You know, I'm probably just like, I'll buy 400 naira biscuits and then probably with water or anything that is available and drink that and go to bed. So him coming out to just calmly say the worst is over, you know, I don't believe that.
The situation we have before he took over is quite different from what we are seeing now. The hardship is very glaring that everybody is going through a lot.
That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, you are part of our community. Your voice matters and would love to hear your thoughts. Remember, you can find all of the Africa Link podcast episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts from. This episode was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, it's bye for now.
DW, Made for Minds.